Now, Richard Collins is at his home in Malahide. And Richard, I had a test for an eye last week and he passed it with flying colours. But I have a question for you now, Richard. Do you know who is singing this song and can you tell me about the song? Have a listen.
When true lovers meet in Mayfair, so the legends tell, songbirds sing, winter turns to spring. Every winding street in Mayfair falls beneath the spell. I know such enchantment can be, 'cause it happened one evening to me. That certain night, the night we met, there was magic abroad in the air. There were angels dining at the Ritz, and a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
Well, that, I think, is the voice, I might be all wrong on this, but I think it's the voice of Vera Lynn. She used to regale the troops in the Second World War, console them out there in the dangers and the deprivations of battle and so on and so forth. She was a very famous person back then. And the song she's singing is called A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. And indeed, they used to sing in London. They don't do so now, although one a few years ago did sing out beside the M25, I think they call it in London, on the periphery of London. But they used to sing, and so it's not ridiculous, the notion that a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
The streets of town were paved with stars. It was such a romantic affair. And as we kissed and said goodnight, a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
And I have another test for you now, Richard. Can you identify this bird?
Well, it's unmistakably a nightingale. There is only one other possibility, and that is the thrush nightingale, a related species that you will hear more in Northern Europe than in Southern Europe. But I think it's the nightingale.
But it wasn't recorded here. Niall Hatch is the man responsible for this recording. Niall.
You're absolutely right, Richard, of course, as you always would be. And it was recorded in Southern Europe. It was recorded in the south of France just a few days ago. I'm back in the studio now, but I was over there in the town of Mandelieu-la-Napoule near to Cannes, with all the whole film festival thing was going on at the time. But I was well away from that. I wanted to listen to what I think the real star performed.
The real stars. But did you meet any of the kind of also-ran stars like Tom Cruise or anybody like that? No?
The very fast-running stars like Tom Cruise. He seems to want to run really quickly in every movie he's in. I didn't. I may have met some well-known influencers from social media from around the world. There's all sorts of people dressed up to the nines, wandering around the streets of Cannes, trying to be noticed. I think that the real stars may be trying not to be noticed. I don't know. I didn't meet anybody particularly famous, I don't think.
But tell us about the nightingale.
Well, the nightingale, it's an unmistakable sound. It's a beautiful bird. They mainly sing at night, but that recording was taken in the afternoon. So they sing during the day as well. There are actually two of them there, but that one was right beside where I parked my car. And it was maybe less than 2 metres away, which is why the recording there is so clear. I was actually worried it was going to distort. It was so close to the microphone, just on my normal phone. And it was really in fine voice. I didn't see it, and that's often the case with nightingales. They hide. They're real skulkers. They are about the same size and shape as a robin. They're related to the robin, but they're a more drab version of the robin. They don't have the red breast of the robin. Imagine a robin without much colour in it, just brown. Overall, they do have a reddish tail, but you'd be doing well to see that because they hide away in the thickets and in the undergrowth. This one's at the base of a cork oak tree with lots of scrub around it, and so it was totally tucked out of view. I couldn't see it, but it was very loud right beside me. It was there. There's another one responding from the opposite side of the nature trail I was on, maybe about 12, 13 metres away, I would guess, and they were sparring off each other. They were fighting.
Are they in Ireland?
I have seen them in Ireland. They've never bred here. They are occasionally recorded as a rare vagrant. one of the reasons possibly why they're not spotted so often is they're very rare, certainly, but when they're not singing, you'd be very hard pushed to find one or to identify it, because they really do like to hide. So people do find them occasionally on headlands. They seem to be like to be around lighthouses on headlands. They're attracted at night. They're night migrants, like many of these small songbirds. So they come in at night attracted by the light. They can see that they've maybe shot too far over from somewhere like northern France. They do breed quite widely on the continent, and as Richard said there, they are replaced by a related bird called the thrush nightingale, which is slightly more speckled on the chest. Looks very similar, but probably that's why it's called thrush nightingale. It also has a fine voice. The two of them, they are hard to distinguish. They do have sort of more sort of raspy notes, probably, with the thrush nightingale. As you heard there, the nightingale, the common nightingale, it's a very renowned singer. I wouldn't necessarily say it's the most beautiful of songs to listen to at length. It certainly is a virtuoso performance. It has lots of repetition in it. It's very loud and very forceful. I don't think you'd listen to a nightingale for many minutes on end for relaxation, perhaps, although to each their own. But as a part of the dawn chorus, even the night chorus you get in that part of the world, it does work quite well. It really cuts out. It's very loud. You can hear it from a long distance.
Niall, you didn't happen to visit Lavandou when you were there. That's a little village, a fishing village near Cannes and the Côte d'Azur down there. But that is the place in which a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square was composed. And the fellow who composed it sang it in a pub with a glass of wine in his hand, and it went down like a lead balloon. And then it became famous through Vera Lynn. But years later, in fact a few years ago, the village decided they were going to commemorate the event and put up a plaque on the wall celebrating the composition of this song, but they couldn't remember what pub it was in. So it would be interesting to go there. Nightingale enthusiasts would have to do the pilgrimage to Lavandou.
Certainly it's more likely you'd hear a nightingale in that part of the world than in Berkeley Square itself. They do occur in southern England, but not really in built-up urban areas. So I always wondered about where that the origins of that song were. So that's obviously what it was. Someone was inspired in the south of France listening to that really quite astonishing song. And they are relatively common down there. It's not a rare bird.
There is a record of nightingale song in Ireland. One sang for several nights running in Carton House in County Kildare, I think, back in May 1955 or thereabouts. Now, global warming might change things. One doesn't want to say anything good about global warming. But if you look at the map of the distribution, it is confined to the south of England. But as things get hotter, maybe Ireland will become just about a place that nightingales can tolerate. So maybe it will come here, you never know. It's also one of the loudest bird songs of all. And if you happen to be beside it all night, you won't get a wink of sleep. And I wonder about that. If it's as loud as that, and remember, if you're working at night, a bird that's working in the total darkness can afford to be as loud as it likes because it's relatively safe. Nobody can see it. Most of its enemies, apart from the owls, are asleep themselves, or most of them anyway. So it can afford to shout an awful lot. But that's interesting, because if you're shouting very loudly, your hearing would get damaged. So there must be those slight little gaps in the nightingale's song between the phrases. I think it must switch off its hearing while it's singing and switch it on again briefly for the little gap of silence between the phrases. It's an intriguing thing, but no bird could go blazing away all night at the turret. They can go on for 2 hours. It would ruin one's hearing to do a thing like that. It's a fascinating bird in all kinds of ways.
I've often wondered how our own wren here in Ireland, a very common bird, how it manages, because its song is incredibly loud as well, and you would think it would damage its ears, but obviously they have evolved in a way that they don't, so maybe there is some mechanism that blocks off that sound so it doesn't cause any ear damage, because we know they do have very good hearing. They need to keep an ear out for predators and potential food as well. There's another bird, actually on the subject of the nightingale, and maybe it will colonise Ireland. There's a bird that is also very loud, a member of the warbler group called Chetty's warbler, which seems to be in the process of colonising Ireland now, and it has a ridiculously loud song. We featured it on the Dawn Chorus programme a couple of times before from our colleagues in BBC Radio Wales, because it's become quite established in Wales, but we are now seeing them at various locations in Ireland, particularly on the south and the east coast, and its song is ear-splittingly loud. It'll carry over a long distance. Just a small little brown bird, even smaller than a nightingale. Like a nightingale, it's very skulking, it's very camouflaged, just a sort of very plain brown-looking bird with a quite remarkable voice. That's often the case, actually, that the birds that tend to have the most remarkable songs tend to be often the most visually unappealing, or the drabbest, because they don't need the bright colours to draw attention to themselves or find a mate. They can hide away from predators nice and camouflaged, and their mates can hear them. So they compete and show off their strength and their fitness by the power of their song and how long they can sing for, whereas a lot of the more colourful birds tend to not have great songs at all. If you think of birds like kingfishers, for example, a famously colourful bird, it does have a song, but it's not something particularly musical. Think of parrots. A lot of them are very, very showy, but they're not they're very good at mimicry and so on, but they don't have particularly beautiful songs. So that's often the case. So maybe there's something in that as well.
Yeah, there's an inverse relationship between the two. You can put your trust in vision and have a lovely outfit on you, or you can sing very well, have a sound. And if you do one to excess, you have no energy or resources for the other. But the birds that use sound tend to be fairly open country birds, where vision works, because you can see the others, the opposition, and the possible partners you might liaise with. Whereas if you are using vision, you wouldn't be seen at all. So it's a question of horses for courses, you see. So I think it's a very interesting subject, though, that.
Well, it's a lovely sound, I have to say, Niall. So well done to you. 10 out of 10 again.